for launch in 3, 2, 1.
Go.
This is a dangerous group that we're dealing with now.
Introducing the Dog Pound Daily Podcast with your hosts, Andrew Seipt and site expert Steven Kibitza.
This DJ's so funky, man.
Okay, let's go. Welcome to the Dog Pound Daily Podcast. We are so excited to finally talk about an actual game. Andrew, are you ready to spend an hour talking about the Shonkaiser?
An hour? I think we could go on for two or three if we wanted to.
Or perhaps even days.
You know, I've been tooting his horn for a long time. I'm just glad for my sake and my credibility that he performed well, because it makes me look good versus all the other times I've been wrong.
Yeah, I mean, that was obviously against third and fourth teamers, but very exciting, and we're happy to talk about it. It's nice just to have a win to talk about, because we started this podcast in the off season, and our first game, albeit preseason, is a win.
Yeah, you know, for those of you who didn't watch or just now coming out of the Cleveland Browns football rock, Browns won 20-14 due to some late game heroics by none other than Shonkaiser.
And star receiver Jordan Payton.
Jordan Payton, yeah. And who was the other guy? Mullaney? What's his name?
Oh, Richard Mullaney.
Richard Mullaney. Did not even think it, honestly.
Former Alabama receiver.
Honestly, sounds like they pulled someone out of the stadium to just be the
seventh. He was looking like Odell Beckham out there.
Yeah. Just quick quarterback stats, because that's really the only position that matters at this point. Osweiler, 6 of 14 for 42 yards, no sacks. Kessler, 5 of 10, 47 yards, 1 sack. Kaiser, 11 for 18, played the entire second half, 184 yards with 1 touchdown, and took 3 sacks. Steven, what are your thoughts on kind of the stat lines from those three quarterbacks?
Well, I think the most important one is Brock's, because he was the starter going up against a starting defense. Although, to be fair to him, he had Cam Irving as his left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, You can't really look, all three of these stat lines are, you know, have a story behind them. You have Osweiler's, who it's really his, you know, he hasn't really played a lot with the first team offense at
like
camp.
Two practices, right?
Yeah. And then he goes out there without his starting left tackle, who's one of the best players in NFL history. And Cam Irving's getting bowled over and holding.
He's going to get someone hurt. He's so bad.
No, yeah, putting him out there, I think it's a conspiracy to get Brock hurt.
Jeez.
But then moving on from him, Kessler only played a little bit in the second quarter and had even worse protection.
Yeah.
Him and Brock didn't look good. My dad texted me with a classic one emoji. Dad text of just a laughing face. I'm like, I knew exactly what he was talking about. It's right after just Kessler drops back, gets creamed. I don't know. It's just, you look at those two and there's the apologist side of me and a lot of Browns fans who are, oh, it's just preseason. You know, those stats are relevant. But just watching the game, seeing Brock just miss open receivers, Kessler having to lob the ball out of bounds at the end of the first half instead of throwing a Hail Mary.
Yeah. You could tell. I mean, he had a couple nice throws. Kessler did. He had a couple 30-yarders, one to Josh Boyce, and then the other was dropped.
Yeah, both Osweiler and Kessler didn't get much help from their receivers.
Just even looking at some of the good, bad, ugly things that I had mentioned, some of the good, obviously, Shonkaiser, you know, that deep ball is pretty nice. Some of the bad things, the run game was a little lackluster, and I wouldn't even say maybe the run game. I think more of Hugh Jackson's, once again, non-commitment to the run. You know, he spoke this big talk of getting all these carries, and Brock Osweiler led them down to the 7-yard line, and they passed the ball 4 straight times. You know, run the ball.
Yeah, when you look at the stats of the actual running backs, you had Terrence McGee, Isaiah Crowell, Matthew Days combined for just 13 carries.
Mm-hmm. 13 carries in a preseason game where you've done nothing but tout your running backs.
And it makes sense not to run Crowell too much. You don't want to get him banged up. But
and I get you've got a quarterback competition to solve, so I think that plays into part of it too. You know, you're not going to why would you go out there and run the ball when you've got to find out what you have in these three quarterbacks?
But it's the same old story, though. I mean, the run game, as we've been saying, a lot of people have for months, it opens up the passing game.
It does.
So how are you going to find out what your quarterbacks have if it's always second and long, third and long?
Yeah, and that's what it was.
Well, the first three drives were 3 and outs.
Killer penalties. I think Cam Irving had 2 on the first, a false start and a holding.
We had a false start and then a hold. And then the next drive, it was actually 4 plays, but one of them was was redone because of a holding call, I believe, on Sean Coleman.
I mean, those were the three uglies that I had. I had penalties, just too many, and a lot of them were drive killers. You know, those the holding is just, when you've got second and seven already, or third and seven, and then you get a holding call, I mean, you're basically, you might as well punt on third down. Brock's overthrows, I know he hadn't had too much time with the ones, so I think that's, there's a little bit
to blame.
But
that's just fundamental.
Yeah, that, like that throw to Seth DeValve. I mean, a lot of people I saw on Twitter were saying,
that was a good throw,
Njoku would have caught that. Yeah, maybe he would have, but if he that's as wide open as Seth DeValve's going to get, I mean, in that type of coverage.
I mean, it missed him by inches.
Yeah, I mean, but it is a game of inches, so hit that throw. And he dropped one perfectly in the bucket to Kenny Britt. Like, that ball was gorgeous. And he just couldn't drag that last foot. But he made some good throws, but there were also a couple times where he left me. There's a lot to be desired, I think.
I think his first throw to Corey Coleman, he just completely missed him.
I mean,
which is a bad sign.
I think if he had the chance to take a couple of those throws back, I think we might be singing a different tune. You know, Kaiser went in with against the second and third team, probably third and fourth team, honestly, and lit it up. And to that, I just say, good. Because if he didn't play well against those guys, I think there's a lot more concern than the optimism that there is now that he played pretty well. So I'm just hoping that this quarterback competition gets settled with one of them, hopefully DeShone Kizer separating himself as this progresses.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up a point which I think is rather interesting, the fact that Cody Kessler came in to camp, you know, Hugh Jackson's like, oh, he's our number one guy. But I don't think he was ever the number one. Like, in camp, he's getting all these reps, but then in the game, he barely plays. And isn't it odd that Hugh Jackson would do that? Or do you think it's, like, something changed in the last week? Because he looks like the third-string quarterback right
now. Yeah, and that, I think I texted you this earlier in the week. I just said that it was my, quote, hot take. But I think Kessler is honestly the odd man out in this scenario, because for the entire offseason, we had nothing but optimism for what Cody Kessler is going to bring to the table. You know, oh, he was under a terrible offensive line. They fixed that. You know, they're going to give him a run game. He's accurate. He doesn't turn the ball over. Well, he can't move the ball forward either. And that was something that was an issue last year, and it's something that's continuing to be an issue thus far in camp. You know, he had that job. He had it at the beginning, and he failed to capitalize on that opportunity. So I have to go ahead and put my trust in the fact that Brock Osweiler or DeShone Kizer has got to have a higher ceiling than what Cody Kessler has.
On Twitter, at Dog Pound Daily did a poll. Who do you think should start the next preseason game? And Kessler, although a lot of people are very vocal about him being, you know, their guy going into the season, he had the least amount of votes.
He hasn't shown anything. Even I would say last night that Cody Kessler might have been the worst quarterback out of both teams, and they didn't even play Drew Brees. So if it's between Cody Kessler and DeShone Kizer, you know, the higher upside is DeShone Kizer. So you got to go with that guy. That guy's DeShone Kizer did exactly what I don't think Cody Kessler can do, which is take over a game in the fourth quarter, even if it's against third and fourth string players, take over the game in the fourth quarter and just be able to make throws downfield that can come back and win a game. And DeShone Kizer did that.
Yeah. And to your point, it was against third and fourth stringers, but you texted me this, and I saw it on SportsCenter with Lewis Riddick. People are so quick to jump out and say, oh, well, that, like, people are loyal to wanting Kessler to start and Osweiler to start. They're like, oh, well, Kizer did that against third and fourth teamers. But if he did bad, people would be crushing him. Like, would you rather see him do bad? It's like, oh, he did really well. Well, it doesn't matter because it's against third and fourth teamers. You go, okay, well, he threw a 50-yard bomb right into the hands of an NFL receiver, which Kessler can't do. Brock mostly can't do.
Yeah. If one group in the media is going to go ahead and anoint Mitch Trubisky the next savior, at least give credit where credit's due with DeShone Kizer and not belittle it because it's against lesser competition in the first week of the preseason.
Yeah, and it's not like he was throwing all short passes and, you know, missing any deep throws. He was throwing 50-yard touchdown passes perfectly in stride, and it's still criticism of, well, it's third and fourth teamers. Okay, well, it's not like the receivers were standing there wide open. They're like running routes, and I don't know. I think the Browns could go 12-4, and people would still be like, well, those four losses were pretty brutal. Like, okay, all right.
I remember how I felt during those preseason games with Josh Gordon, and I was like, wow, you know, this could be a pretty good offense. You know, they were bombing the ball downfield, and then it's just like week one just took the air right out of the whole season.
That was a bad game. I think they had three first downs.
How do you think the run defense looked? Because I was a little skeptical after the first couple drives. You know, that who was that? Alvin Kamara.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I mean, when Danny Shelton and everyone up front was getting just blown past, but it's the first preseason game, and not to sound like I always do like an apologist, but that's going to happen in the preseason. They haven't really played anyone else outside of their own team.
Steven, they haven't had a run defense in the last 20 years. You can't keep saying it's
preseason. But I mean, as the game went on, it got better.
I agree, but so did the competition also decreased, and they were sitting. Imagine if AP and Mark Ingram were playing. All I'm saying is that there's still a lot to be desired in that run game.
I think that they have so many guys they could slot in. It's like no one's safe. Even a guy like Danny Shelton, if he plays like garbage, then it's one of those years where they're just. I mean, how many linemen do they have in camp right now?
I think depth is a good thing, and I think you do too. I don't think that's what you were getting.
No, I just mean that like. If we see more games like Danny Shelton playing like that, you're going to see other guys in there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, you get a nice rotation of guys, but you also got to let someone get in a groove. You know, having too many is almost sometimes not a good thing because similar to the quarterback competition, you've got three guys and you're taking away reps from someone who you might want to see that could be the answer at that position, whether it's quarterback or defensive tackle, wide receiver. You know, at some point you got to start whittling down who your impact players are. And
So to answer your question about the run defense, the problem is I'm a big Browns fan and a supporter, but objectively the Browns defense is still really bad. So me seeing the way the run defense played, I guess it wasn't shocking, and there was no, you know, like 30-yard runs. Like some games you'll see the Browns get gashed for like 300 yards. You're like, what is this, a middle school defense? But I think because it was just a few quick runs, Garrett got in the backfield a few times, it just completely went out of my head. It was, oh, they didn't play that bad. But if Adrian Peterson was in there, I mean, but even if he puts up 150, I'm still going to be like, oh, well, I mean, it's better than 200 yards, you know, because he's so good. I think until the Browns actually have a real run defense, it's tough to judge because anytime they allow less than 100 yards, it's like a win.
It went from Jim O'Neill to Ray Horton to, I mean, those were like two of the worst run defenses in history in the last 2 years. So anything, and obviously with the talent that they've acquired, it should be better, but I'm looking for, we need some steady improvement in there if this defense is going to be anywhere near what they expect it to be. Some of the notes that I had, at least going through the first couple drives. The first couple drives, the Browns really didn't have any quarterback pressure, which was quite concerning. I know Myles Garrett had a pressure, but I think that drop touchdown by Ted Ginn was a big momentum shift there.
Oh, total Cleveland loyalist. I liked on the game broadcast, they're like, oh, that looked like Tank Carter flash in front of Ginn. And he didn't. The ball hit Ginn in the chest, and then Carter flashed in front of him. And then Mike Patrick was like, oh, no, he just dropped it. Oh, boy. And they're like, he's a local guy, right? And they're laughing. Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God.
Saints kick a field goal. You know, that's, thank God it wasn't a touchdown, but, and then Peppers caught that fair catch with 10 yards in front of him, which after, that was quite the defensive stop, though. They had a nice stop on first down, and then Orchard and Meter combined for a sack. Jamie Meter's a guy that hopefully he's not the odd man out. I mean,
I think he'll make the final roster.
The hero of 2016. So then again, they had another well-defended screen pass. And one thing I can really say about this Browns defense, even in the short time that we've seen them on the field in one preseason game, they're just a much better tackling team than what we've seen in the past.
Oh, yeah. You know who tackled well last night was Boddy Calhoun.
Oh, man. He was running around like his hair was on fire. He was fun to watch.
I think it sounds so remedial to be like, oh, they're a bad tackling team or a good tackling team. But, I mean, we've watched the Browns so long just... Some defenders just dive into people. They don't even try to tackle them. But last night you saw a lot of good wrap-up tackles, and there's one play.
I know Tank Carter missed that tackle that let Kamara get outside. But, like, other than that, I really can't, like, distinguish what some big missed tackles are. You know, I can count so many times last year in a point in a game where you're like, oh, could have had him there, could have had him there. And could have had him there, and then he's still going for 20 yards, you know. And last night they just did a really good job of not only tackling, but if they didn't get him on the first try, there were three or four other Browns there to swarm. And again, that's something that we haven't seen from a Browns defense in a long time.
Yeah, it's tough to judge too because there's no Adrian Peterson or, you know, dominant back. But
yeah,
I mean, it was a good sign. We're really not going to know. That's why we have to temper all our excitement and be like, oh, they tackled well, but...
That's something fundamental, though, you know. I understand you're not tackling...
Yeah, I guess you either can or you can't. Yeah. You'll show it no matter when you play.
You're not tackling Adrian Peterson, but you're still... I mean, the fundamentals are there.
Tackling a guy that would easily plow us over.
So, I mean, still three and outs. I think they both combined, aside from that field goal, for like 6 3 and outs in the first half. Like, that was kind of boring to watch. Finally, Peppers gets the ball, and I thought he was going to take this to the house. He slipped through that second wave.
Well, yeah, his good return, he got tripped up and he like on a spin move.
I was really hoping for it, man. He is going to be fun to watch, I think.
And yeah, I've been on the Peppers train since before the draft. I'm a Peppers loyalist.
I was a skeptic, but man, he's going to turn me into a believer quick. That was actually, I think that was the drive that kind of turned everything around. I think that was when Osweiler led them down the field. But again, Brown's not really committing to the run once they get inside the red zone, which red zone, it doesn't matter if you get down in the red zone, you got to convert. And you can't, not only field goals, but you got to get touchdowns. That's what's going to win football games. So that's another, at least a storyline that I'll continue to monitor moving forward is how the Browns offense continues to operate in the red zone.
Yeah, and the problem with the red zone offense, something I noticed is that when the first teamers were out there, there was no go-to option in the receiving game. I mean, they were saying it last night during the broadcast, and I mean, we were talking about it off the air. Duke Johnson's the third receiver right now.
And he's probably not a bad receiver, but it's also a testament to...
That's not good.
No.
Like it's fine if he's a good receiver. That's good for him. But when you have all these guys in camp and your third receiver's a running back...
Well, Kenny Britt, I mean, man, he had a string of bad luck in his possessions. You know, he missed the foot, and then I think he dropped a pass, and it was like...
He had a block in the back.
He was just a little off, you know, in that first game. So I'll give him... He's a veteran. I think he'll turn it around.
We have to think, you know, too, how long has he played with Osweiler in camp?
Honestly, if I were to predict it right now, even after last night's really nice Kaiser showing, I still think Osweiler's the week one starter.
Unless he just is horrible the next three preseason games.
Yeah, that I agree. Or Kaiser just blows it out of the water. I mean, that game last night was set up for DeShone Kaiser to show out.
Oh, yeah, it was weird because Hugh Jackson said, we're starting Osweiler because we want Kessler and Kaiser to play more. And Osweiler and Kaiser played the most, and Kessler barely played.
That's, again, man, I think he's the odd man out. And I feel bad because he's a hard worker, and he's got the drive to want to be successful, but...
He's just not as good.
He can't, yeah.
Even Osweiler, limited. Who, I mean, the fact he's on the Browns is still baffling to me. But, I mean, he's better than Kessler.
You think they would trade him, Kessler? Like, what would he garner?
Kessler? They're not going to get anything in return.
Yeah. So, I mean, what? Then do you cut Kevin Hogan? Can Kevin Hogan go on the practice squad?
Yeah, but someone could take him off.
I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. So, if you were to grade the offense, defense, and special teams, you know, just one by one, what are your grades?
Like for the entirety of the game?
Yeah. I mean, just based as a whole, you know, obviously, but take into consideration it is a preseason game. But I mean, just in terms of scheme, play calling, you know, what did you think?
I'd say in special teams, it's always tough to grade, but I think Peppers gave him, you know, about a B. His fair catch was a little.
I think that bumps it down a little bit.
I mean, that's just a timing issue, and he's first NFL game. Mm-hmm. I would fair catch every punt that came my way. So give them a B. I think offense, I mean, Kaiser really showed out in the second half, but as a whole, just an average grade of a C. They didn't really, I mean, the first half was brutal. And when a team wins, even preseason, it's, oh, that was great. Kaiser's throws. Brock didn't look that bad. But I mean, you have Cam Irving out there getting bowled over still. And even though people say, oh, well, Joe Thomas is going to have that left tackle spot, or it's either Irving or Coleman at the right tackle. And that's definitely a weak spot.
Yeah. What's going to happen when Joe Thomas retires? He can't have Joe. Like, are they gonna force him to play until he's like 40? Well, yeah, I was more or less making a joke of the fact that, like, we've kind of taken for granted the fact that we have Joe Thomas, and like he could be done after this year. You know, you never know with the NFL nowadays. So
yeah, and I think that grade of a C2 for the offense. Also, the lack of a running game really does stand out. I mean, it's exciting though. You, like you said, it's a quarterback competition. You want to see people passing, but man, is it bad when no running back. I mean, you're not really going to get a running back in double-digit carries in a preseason game.
Yeah, they take enough beating as it is.
Yeah. So. And then quickly, as for the defense, I mean, aside really from the beginning with those few big runs, I'd say I'm going to give it an A grade.
Oh, really?
Hot take of the week.
Low standards. I
mean, exactly. I already told you my view on the defense.
A pluses all around.
14 points for the Browns. I don't care who it's against. That's not bad. Two forced fumbles.
Yeah.
And recoveries.
I'm gonna go ahead and start with the offense. I'm gonna agree with you on the C. I think it's a low C though. You know, until we
like
see
a C minus.
I think it is a C minus because it was damn near an F for most of the first half. So. Again, you touched on it, the running game, you're not going to get so many carries out of a running back, but even still, even the short carries that they got, they didn't really get anything that was substantial. You know, it was not the kind of running game that we expect out of Isaiah Crowell, and I think it'll improve moving forward, but at least for
tonight. Yeah, the longest run of the game was Brock Osweiler's 10-yard scramble.
Yeah, and so at least for now, I'll give the offense a C-. Special teams, C, you know. Maybe a C+ because Peppers had a nice run and flashing potential. I think we're giving grades out that are
we're nice swing. Teachers. We're the yeah. cool professors.
They'll swing from week to week depending on who plays well. And then defense, I'm gonna actually go a solid B. I think that was a good a good showing. You know, I still think the run defense is some questionable issues there. And
but hey, Ben, don't break. Didn't give up too many points.
Yeah, not going against Drew Brees doesn't really give us an idea for what the secondary is like. I did like the schemes and some of the pressures that Greg Williams was bringing. I think it's getting a guy like Joe Schobert, I mean, just knifing through the middle, you know. That hopefully that's something that continues. So, and a guy like Trevin Coley, this will actually segue into my previous point. My weekly performer or my standout player of the game was Trevin Coley. 3 total tackles, 1 assist, and a forced fumble that actually led to some Cody Kessler or Matt Day's touchdown on the Cody Kessler drive. So he's a guy that, I mean, defensive line is a pretty stacked position in terms of how many players are on that roster, and he's outshined Larry Ogunjobi, Caleb Brantley, pretty much everybody there, you know. So I think he's a guy that has a real chance to be a starter come week one.
Before I get to my breakout player, I think we should do a little trivia.
Ooh, okay.
To, you know, break up the monotony of me and you fawning over players who may not make the team.
I don't know. Maybe Richard Mullaney.
Well, my player is probably not going to make the team. That's why I say that.
Mine might.
But I have a little trivia for you.
Lay it on me.
This is might be an easy one, but which high school in Ohio did DeShone Kizer attend?
Oh, shoot. Was it a Catholic school?
It was a Catholic school.
I don't remember the actual name, but I do know it's Catholic school. So I don't know.
It's a pretty basic name.
St. Joe's?
No, he's not from Cleveland.
I don't.
He went to Toledo.
I don't know. Toledo Catholic High School. I don't know. Just give me the answer.
Toledo Central Catholic.
Oh, gotcha. Well, now I'll never forget that.
It's just Toledo Catholic. Now you know.
You don't have to keep egging me on. If I don't know, just go ahead and.
Well, it was only one more word. Toledo Middle Catholic? Ooh.
All right, Steven. You're probably going to know this. Where was the Browns' first training camp held?
Was it Bowling Green, Ohio?
It was. I try to get you on the trick questions to make you overthink.
No, that's why me and you both went to Bowling Green, for people who don't know. And that's a bit. That's why they have those colors. Brown and orange or Bowling Green.
And honestly, Bowling Green's uniforms are way cooler than the Browns because the
Browns
because
they have, you know, Nike college uniforms now. It's just crazy. I'm not a big hater of the Browns uniforms. I just maybe
they're so ugly.
I just never get mad at uniforms. I just don't not to sound like I'm above such a conversation. It's just I don't think they're that bad.
Well, Cavs uniforms are ugly too now. So
they look like Hawks uniforms.
I know. It's dumb. But anyway, Browns uniforms are terrible. I'm going to leave it at that.
Is that the hill you're willing to die on?
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and ask my second question as a kind of a double up. Who was the Browns' first coach coming back in 1999?
I think I asked you this, or you asked me this on an old podcast.
A different one.
No, you asked me this, and I got it wrong.
No, who was the coach of the playoff-led team?
Oh.
So
first coach when they came back? First coach was Chris Palmer, right?
You are correct, sir.
All right. And I will give you a second trivia question that a lot of fans older than us will know, but people younger listeners may not know this. Who was the final coach of the Browns before they moved?
Bill Belichick.
Of course.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure you knew because I think a lot of people our age don't know that he was the Browns coach for a while.
Or Nick Saban was the defensive coordinator. There was a documentary on the old Browns like right before they moved, and it was like there's so many famous names that were on the Browns coaching staff.
Yeah, and that coaching staff.
Yeah, Mike Lombardi.
And
was there.
I mean, Belichick got rid of Kosar, very popular move.
Oh, and Kosar punched him out in the tunnel.
That was when Bill Belichick, it's like in Star Wars before the Emperor had his lightning come back on himself. Yeah. Him cutting Kosar was like that first moment.
Yeah.
Where he did starts he to turn
did
to the dark
Kosar
side.
Did Kosar get cut or did he trade?
People know. We just don't know. You know Kosar has a Super Bowl ring, right?
Yeah.
Or they cut Bernie Kosar.
Oh, interesting. Anyway, do you have a third question? Or I have a third question for you.
Yeah, give me a difficult one. Something I'm not going to know, even though I'm on Google right now.
Who was the first player selected by the Browns in the expansion draft?
Was it Jeff Fain?
No, it was someone with a J in their first name. It was Jim Pine.
Who was it? I didn't hear you because I was talking too loud.
Yeah, Jim Pine.
Oh. Was Jeff Fain selected? Because I think Jeff Fain is on one of my little Burger King footballs. No, he was 2003. That's when those footballs were 1999.
Yeah, I had a gym or I had that same football that you're talking about. So that's what I
deflated Burger King football.
Yep, that and I have the Tim Couch bobblehead from I used to Tim Couch bobblehead.
Ooh, me too. Were you standing in the stadium?
Yeah. I don't know where it's at though.
I have that. I got mine at the St. Mary's Church Festival.
Interesting. I think I got mine at McDonald's. I probably got mine there too, honestly.
So I Googled Jeff Fain and there's just a picture of him standing at a bar. I think he's a bar owner.
Interesting. Is that going to...
Trivia question. Yeah. Where bar does Jeff Fain own?
What color shirt is he wearing in this picture? I don't know.
Not even the answer to the trivia question. Jeff Fain.
Does a Jeff Fain restaurant segue into your weekly performer? Is he an offensive lineman, perhaps?
It is not.
I didn't think so.
That'd be such a reach. No, my weekly performer, because I don't have a cool enough trivia question for you. You know what? I lied. Let me just give you a fun one.
All right. Here we go. See, this is kind of why I wanted to get this out of the way pre-show, so that way we didn't have to Google questions on the air. But
no, I have. I had questions.
They're not
But I realized they were
enough.
Too easy.
Yeah. They're not strong enough.
No, I always have, I'm like, he won't know this. And then it's just like, who's the Browns punter? Curses, you know. Is it Chris Kardaki? No. All right. I'm trying to find, like, I like...
This is really good content right now that we're putting out there.
In what round was long snapper Ryan Pontbriand drafted?
Seventh. Fifth.
Fifth. Fifth round. Yep. That is, and you know who else was drafted in that 2003 draft? Jeff Fain.
Jeff. Is that how you found it? The rabbit hole on Wikipedia?
They drafted Jeff Fain, a center, with their first pick, and then they drafted a long snapper with their fifth round pick. That's the kind of commitment to the line you just don't have anymore.
Hey man, when they cut Pontbriand for Christian Yount, Pat Shurmur was like he was vilified when that happened.
Isn't that crazy? It's like so many people had long snapper jerseys. Well, Pontbriand got the yips, remember?
Yeah.
We were at those games that year, and he was just bouncing snaps.
Yeah, that was bad. He's a good dude, though.
But that is a good segue into my performer. It was not a long snapper.
Left tackle Cam Irving.
It was Richard Mullaney.
Richard!
No, Richard Mullaney, team's leading receiver, thanks to that catch from DeShone Kizer that was very close to being a touchdown, but ultimately punched in by Matthew Days. But, I mean, at this point, with the Browns receiving core being so up in the air, I mean, Corey Coleman and Kenny Britt are set in their jobs, and Ricardo Lewis is likely in there. But, I mean, if you come out and have a giant camp, they're going to keep you on the roster. And that performance from Mullaney, former Alabama receiver, will help him maybe next game get to play with some better, better players around him, go against better defensive backs and see how he does. I mean, at this point, it's like when Isaiah Crowell burst out as a running back a few years ago in the preseason. You're looking for any help you can get. And if it comes down to guys like Jordan Payton and Rashard Higgins who were drafted, if they're doing bad, compared to someone like Mullaney who they just brought in, who's doing better, I think there's no prestige at this point. It's going to go to whoever's playing the best.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I can see that.
And Richard Mullaney is a name to keep an eye on. I like his name. It's fun to say.
It's Irish. Is that Irish, do you think?
No, but he had 70 yards on two catches. Big play, Richard Mullaney.
Is that an Irish name, Mullaney? Ask him.
I believe so.
If we get our Richard Mullaney Dog Pound Daily exclusive.
We could probably ask him. When you do a breakout players in a preseason, it should never always be the starters. It should be guys who, I mean, when you say breakout, like guys who may make the roster. I guess you don't want it to be like, Corey Coleman every game, because then it gets to the regular season, then they just double team him, and then
I don't know. The Browns are in a unique position on the waiver wire, so when it comes time for the rosters to be trimmed down from, I believe it's 90 to 75, or is it straight 90 to 50 now? 53. Okay, so I mean, I think the Browns are in a good spot to pick up a receiver, and I think there's a good chance that might happen. Just to even, I mean, you never know with injuries and performing.
I mean, even today, Sammy Watkins got traded from the Bills. Maybe there's guys that are ready to be traded.
Anyway, I don't think Sammy Watkins is. A lot of people may stink about the Browns trading out of that spot, but I mean, the dude has never been healthy. Jordan Matthews never really lived up to the potential that he had in Philadelphia. So the receiving position is important, but I think the Browns, if they wait patiently, you know, they might be in a good spot to take one of the elite guys next year, or pick up a good veteran name that happens to be cut come cut season.
This is when grumpy me goes, could have had OBJ, and then just sips whiskey in the middle of the afternoon.
Could have, yeah. Or Mike Evans.
Or Julio Jones.
Any of them, really. But just kind of want to put a plug in here for our CBS pick and pool. It's a little bit late in the podcast, but I think it's a pretty cool idea. So what we want is the fans like you guys to participate with us in an NFL pick 'em challenge. The rules are just straight up pick 'em. You know, it's going to go by whoever picks the most picks, you know, is going to lead and be the winner. We haven't decided on what the winner gets aside from bragging rights.
Probably nothing.
You know, I don't think our budget, I don't think our budget allows for prizes to be given out, but you know, it's a good way for us to interact with you guys, and we're going to write a weekly article, or I'm going to write a weekly article about the current standings and where everyone stands, biggest movers, biggest fallers, you know, and just kind of cracking jokes at some of the picks that were made during that week, all in good fun. So,
well, it's going to be all, like, the Browns are going to be picked to win every game.
Oh, exactly. So I tweeted out the link. I know we're probably going to retweet it on the Dog Pound Daily Twitter. So go ahead and click on that URL and sign in and join our league, and hopefully we can have some fun in a pick'em league. I've never done one before, so I'm excited.
You've never done a pick'em league?
No, I always try, but then I always forget, because it's just me, like, picking against random people.
Oh, so it's not really a pick'em league, it's just you sitting down with the newspaper like, yes.
Well, that, and, like, if I do it online, you know, I'm doing it with random people, I have no reason to check, like, I don't care. With a bunch of people.
Fair enough, I take back my criticism.
Okay, well, I guess I don't have to explain myself anymore. I was ready, I had a whole list of things ready.
I'd like to give a shout out to my neighbor at home, Jameson, who should still be listening because he's one of the few who listens to the end.
We'll know if he's listening, if he shoots you a text or lets you know that, like, gives you a thank you for the shout out
on Twitter, so. Perhaps a thank you card, perhaps an Amazon gift card.
I gave a shout out to my uncle. I'll give a shout out to my uncle again and see if he's still a loyal listener. I haven't heard from him recently, so that'll be my shout out for the week.
If you're listening, please call. I like listener shout-outs. I feel like Ryan Seacrest.
It's fun when people actually listen. Like, even talking with Jameson at your birthday party, it was
not, like, my birthday party.
It was too. Steven had a birthday about 10 days ago, 9, 12 days ago. So should we sing you happy birthday? Can I sing you happy birthday on the
Please end? Don't. It'll be okay. Out of tune.
It will be very out of tune. I'll go back and edit it on the auto-tune.
Like, is this Kanye West singing happy birthday?
Yeah. With that being said, you know, I think we should probably close the show with one interesting storyline from around the NFL. Steven, I'll let you lead it off.
Well, for anyone who knows, I am a Mitch Trubisky super fan. My story is how well he played in the Bears preseason opener. Obviously, it was in the second half, you know, against the backups. But he nearly led a game-tying touchdown drive, had a touchdown pass, and came in after Marky Mark came in first and played classic Sanchez. Marky Mark style. The Sanchez is just there to collect a paycheck and party. That's what I'd be doing at that point in my life, too.
Oh, no, that's what he's doing. I talked to one of my confidants that said he was talking to Mitch and said that Mark Sanchez is exactly like that. Like, that's all he
Well, he's at the end of his career. He's already made a bunch of money. He's just probably trying to hang. He's in a big city.
Yeah, he's Alex Moran, dude. That's the life. Mark Sanchez is living the life.
But before he came in, Glennon threw a pick six on the first drive. I was on Twitter, and it's like, Glennon pick six. I was like, yes, yes. Everything's going according to plan. And then he fumbled a snap. And then Mitch comes in, threw a touchdown pass to Victor Cruz. How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Can you imagine being a rookie throwing a touchdown pass to Victor Cruz? It had to be surreal. Because, Victor Cruz was relevant like 4 or 5 years ago.
It was funny. LeBron quoted the tweet and said, yeah, Victor Cruz, get it. And I'm like, and Mitch, go Mitch.
Go Mitch. But yeah, that's my story, how well he played. Like we were saying earlier with Kizer, a lot of people aren't ready to jump on the Kizer train yet. But I think one more bad game from Glennon and it's going to be signs that say, please play Mitch.
Yeah, all hell is going to break
Chicago.
Loose. Yeah.
And so. The Browns are playing the Bears at the end of the preseason. Get to see a lot of Mitch.
It'll be a clash of the rookies.
I hope they declare him the starter.
Right afterward. Yeah.
What is your NFL story?
I'm going to go with the obvious, and that's Zeke getting suspended for 6 games. I've not been an Ezekiel Elliott fan. Even when he came out of college, I thought some of the things that he did. One, I don't like the Dallas Cowboys, so that kind of didn't sit well with me anyway. I wanted the Browns to take him at 8, but
good thing they didn't.
Almost, I was gonna say, it's almost turning out to be a good thing that they didn't, or that he didn't last that far, because he has had a string of incidents that have been less than stellar even by Dallas Cowboys standards. So the NFL suspended him 6 games, and I'm sure he'll appeal it and get it cut down to 4 games, or maybe they'll uphold it with the 6. But I think the NFL really has a chance to send a message to some of these troublemakers that, yeah, he's not convicted of anything, but just because you're not convicted doesn't mean you can't get fired from your job or suspended. That's
with any job too.
Goes. Exactly. So it's going to be an interesting story to watch, but I'm happy that the NFL actually took a stand and suspended one of their premier players.
I think for every week when we do our interesting story, I'm going to have mine be a positive thing, and we'll have you on suspension watch. What's your interesting story? Josh Gordon still suspended. Like, are you okay? But I want to ask you a final question before we end it here.
All
just
right.
Really quick.
Ask me a question, then I'm going to go over what we're going to cover next week. And then
I want a prediction on the record.
Okay.
Who's starting week 1 at quarterback? I'm holding you to this.
I don't know. I said Osweiler earlier in the episode. I don't know. I just think it's tough. I think it's really tough for the Browns to go ahead and throw. Like, I think he would get killed, Kizer would.
Well, who do you think, regardless of logic, is going to be the starter?
I think Osweiler's going to start week 1.
I think Kizer.
You do? I mean, I hope it's Kizer. I hope that means he separated himself. But I just think throwing DeShone Kizer to the Wolves like that in week 1 against Pittsburgh is kind of a tall task, so.
Oh, I don't think it's a good thing. I'm just saying I think he will, will be out there.
Let's see. We'll see what happens the rest of the way. The next episode will be an opponent breakdown of, the New York Giants on Monday Night Football, right?
New York Football Giants.
The New York Football Giants. So we're going to go over keys to the game, scouting report, what some of the additions, maybe what's different about this Giants team compared to last year, because I know we did see them in the regular season. We'll go over, some of the developments that we've seen throughout the week, injury reports, and we'll get you prepped up and ready to go for the next preseason game.
And that's a Monday Night Football game.
Yeah, only primetime game the Browns will have this year. So,
well, they have a 9:30 game in London. Does that count?
No.
It's like anti-primetime.
Yeah. So with that being said, I will sign off personally. I'll let you finish with a closing thought, but thanks for listening and have a wonderful evening.
Yeah, my sign off is subscribe to us on iTunes.
Yeah.
It's the best way to get all your Dog Pound Daily needs delivered right to your iPhone.
Yeah, it syncs right up to it. I get the little notification.
It takes 2 seconds. I mean, if you're listening to the show, it's the most convenient way to get it.
If you go on my Twitter, at least, I'm not sure if you have this on yours. Mine's pinned to the top of my Twitter, so if you guys go at @Andrew_Sype. You guys can go get that quick link on iTunes, and you'll be able to get subscribed right away.
Oh, my pinned tweet is when I interviewed Chad Johnson, and I'm never changing that.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
But that's a story for another time. We'll be signing off. Subscribe to us on iTunes, and be sure to look out for another episode coming up soon about the next preseason game.